First, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a $100 million school safety grant package in April following the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. The state's Department of Justice is accepting applications for the funding, and Wisconsin schools are examining their safety procedures. But some advocates are concerned that students with physical and mental disabilities aren't being taken into consideration when schools develop their safety plans for active shooter situations. Sally Flashberger is the lead advocacy specialist for Disability Rights Wisconsin. Sally, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk to you about this topic.
Let's talk about these active shooter drills. Do schools pay enough attention to students with various kinds of disabilities when they're coming up with these plans, these active shooter plans?
So we have not seen too many very specific to students with disabilities. I have done some research, and the state does offer some on their website, some resources for Safe School. But even just looking at those, some of them are really old, and they don't really talk about active shooter situations. And I know it has definitely been in the news lately, and with some of the school safety bills that came forward, that was a concern for our agency of whether students with disabilities are being considered in these safety plans.
One of the typical plans for active shooters in programs around the country, really, is the idea of run, hide, and fight as the kind of the steps that students and teachers can take. How does this leave out many students with disabilities, physical or other disabilities?
Right. So I think we think about students with physical disabilities first, who maybe are using wheelchairs or walkers or have some type of limitation where they really wouldn't maybe even be able to run for sure, but even be able to hide. And I think about the professionals that are working with them, and sometimes there may be a group of kids that is in a classroom, and think about how is that person going to protect someone who's immobile and maybe not able to help themselves at all to even hide, and thinking about that. I think we also think about kids who maybe have sensory issues, where in a situation of an active shooter where they may need to be quiet, there may be alarms going off, it may be scary, you know, they may be in a more fight or flight mode, and they may actually flee, but not in a safe manner, and or they may vocalize just due to what's going on around them, and so how do we keep those kids safe, and how will their teachers keep them safe from some intruder in a school?
Yeah, that category of disability includes so many different students. Is the answer maybe not these specific guidelines from on high, but something as part of the individualized education plan that a student might have so that a school can tailor a response to the needs of the actual students who are there?
I do think that would be important for parents to be thinking about that and discussing that, and for schools to be thinking about it, because if you don't have the conversation, you may be planning just with the regular protocols, but having that conversation at least brings it light to a team of people and what they're going to do for those individual students. I think we often see schools do that when they're talking about fire. You know, there's certain protocols that fire departments have about possibly where kids go who have a physical disability. If they can't get downstairs, they may be waiting in a certain area. So I think the same types of things need to be done, and there needs to be individual safety plans for students with disabilities. But I think also, too, schools just need to recognize that even in some of these dramatic situations, if those plans can't be followed, what are going to be the contingencies, and what support is there for those professionals so that they're able to keep the kids safe? Because I think that's a great burden on our teachers and administrators in schools. So thinking about what could be an overall plan, talking with the police departments, and thinking about how we're going to keep all kids safe.
You mentioned fire drills, and are there other lessons and precedents we could take from schools doing fire drills for years and figuring out how to meet the needs of students with disabilities?
Yes, I do think so. I think that we definitely see with fire drills, like one example is you know, kids might know ahead of time who maybe do have sensory issues that the fire alarm's going to go off. And so I think for sure when we come to drills, we can take some of those same principles. I think it's when we're planning, if something were to actually happen, you know, what is going to keep those kids safe. But I think it really starts with a conversation, and I think that's what's important for parents to be thinking about, and maybe, you know, talking to their local school districts as they're starting to develop these plans. So, you know, we have this new the whole package of school safety bills that was passed, and I think that is an opportunity for parents to work with their local school districts on a plan.
Sally Flashberger is with us from Disability Rights Wisconsin. And Sally, that new legislation you just mentioned and this grant application program, $100 million for school safety upgrades, what role did your organization play, if any, in that legislation and in this grant process?
We did participate at a hearing, so the recommendations had come out from the governor, and it did go through a hearing process. We did testify at the hearing. We had really asked for some more increases for mental health treatment that are already part of school funding, and then some of the recommendations that Dr. Evers, the state superintendent for schools, had put forward about climate, which included some areas of bullying prevention and positive behavior interventions. The hearing process was very quick. They had one hearing. In the midst of that hearing, it seems as though the Assembly and the Senate came to an agreement about what this package would look like, and then it was passed very quickly with not too many significant changes. As part of our testimony, we did ask that as part of school safety plans that there would be a provision added to the bill that would require schools to have a plan for students with disabilities. So that did not get in there. Currently, we are considering reaching out to DOJ, but they have not assigned the person who's necessarily in charge of these grants yet to just kind of talk to them about students with disabilities and maybe what they can be looking for as people start to apply for these grants, or really even consulting with school districts to just maybe remind them that that would be an important part of the plan. I think some of the issues around the funding is a lot of it may go to more structural changes and not to more programmatic changes that I think even school districts were hoping that they would be able to be looking at some of the supports and services that students might need to possibly eliminate even the risk of some of these issues happening at school.
I want to bring up the role of first responders and reading up on this in actual active shooter situations. Police are instructing kids as they evacuate to come out with their hands up, which makes sense, make sure that somebody isn't armed on the way out. An issue I hadn't thought of, though, is that some students with disabilities might physically be unable to comply with that. They might, especially in a situation, a very stressful, obviously, situation, people with some conditions might not be able to understand or kind of comprehend that instruction in the midst of all of this. Is it important for first responders to have training in these kind of issues?
I do think that's important, and some of the research I've done, different organizations have come out with information. There is, DPI does have on their website some information from the Autism Society for First Responders. So each individual police department really handles that all individually. So it really, it's a local decision about what type of training they might have. And I think definitely we've seen some that are doing that and becoming aware. But again, in a crisis situation, right, do we know that they have this information? That's a very interesting thought about raising their hands. I myself have a young adult with a disability who is my son, and he cannot raise both his hands. And, you know, I also think about kids who may be running, or a lot of kids have a fight or flight mode, you know, when a situation like this happens, and you'd hate to see a student be running out of a building without their hands up and police not being sure, you know, who is that, you know. So I do think it's important that first responders be thinking about this. And I think that, you know, it can be very different around the state. So again, it might be another area where the Department of Justice could really be focusing on, you know, what are the strategies that departments need to have around this.
And I want to ask for your advice for maybe parents, families listening. There is a student with disabilities. What can the parents, what can the student themselves, for that matter, do to advocate to take these issues to their teachers, their school district, and make sure there is a plan in place?
So I think now is a really important time because these plans are being developed. So if districts are going to be asking for grant dollars, they're developing some type of plan. And I would have to imagine that most districts are going to submit to get a portion of this funding. So I think parents can reach out to their local school districts, whether that's through the superintendent or their local school board. But I think now is the time because this grant cycle is definitely happening. And even if their school isn't going to possibly apply for some of the funding, I still think it's an important discussion to have. And I think definitely starting with maybe their special ed director and then their superintendent and then maybe looking at their board members, because I think it will be a local decision how these plans are put in place.
Sally, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great, thank you.
Sally Flashberger is the lead advocacy specialist for Disability Rights Wisconsin. She joins us to talk about how schools can meet the needs of students with disabilities in their safety plans.